Good to see everyone this morning. Like always, I would like to thank the elders for giving me this opportunity to study with you this morning. You know, it's always good to have a captive audience to speak to. And by captive, I don't mean you're here forced to be here. You know, you're here this morning because you wanted to be here and to hear God's word. You know, it's the people outside this building that really need to hear God's word. And it's not always so easy to talk to them, is it, about God? Because they don't necessarily want to hear God's word. But as a Christian, that's our challenge, is to present God's word to them in a way that they want to hear it. You know, what I would like to study with you this morning is a couple of passages from the book of Proverbs. You know, Proverbs has always been one of my favorite books in the Bible because of so much practical knowledge that you can apply to your life is in that book. So my main passage this morning is from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. And there it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." You know, I don't know if in our Wednesday night class that Kevin was teaching, I don't know if he noticed it or not, but the very last things that he said in his class was this verse right here. I thought that was kind of funny that I'd be giving a lesson on that. But the Bible gives us a definition of faith or trust. And you know, trust in the Lord is just another way of saying have faith or put your faith in the Lord. And in Hebrews 11 and 1, we are told, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." You know, God doesn't ask us to have a blind faith. You know, people in ancient times, and although we still have idols today, back then idol worship was prevalent. Now, worshiping an idol was a blind faith because that idol couldn't do anything for you. It didn't offer anything for you. It was all just from people's imaginations. But God doesn't ask us to have a blind faith. He has shown us through the prophets of the Old Testament, through the apostles, all the great men of Bible history, through His Son, Jesus Christ, what we are to believe in and who we are to put our faith into. All these acts and things that those men did are evidence of the truthfulness of God's Word. Now, we didn't see those things happen, but the evidence is there to prove that. So when you put your whole trust and faith in God, you can be assured that He will do what He says He will do. You know, and when we go back and read all these stories that the Bible tells us, when God makes a covenant with man, it's always man that breaks the covenant. It's not God. You know, so that when we trust in God, we can be assured He's going to do what He says He will do. We can't guarantee what we do, we're going to do, or what we say that we're going to do. Paul said this about faith in Romans 4 and 20. Paul says, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what He promised, that He was able to perform." You know, back to our verse there in Proverbs. It says, He wants us to put our trust and our faith in God with all your heart. With all your heart. And I believe what He is telling us here is that we are to put our faith in God and Jesus without any doubt in our minds. You know, with all that we have been taught about God and Jesus in the Scriptures and all the evidence that has been put down throughout history for us to see, there are times that we still have doubts, don't we? You know, the problem a lot of people seem to have is just a lack of true and wholehearted faith in God. You know, how many times in the Scriptures do we find a situation where Jesus was talking to a group of people or to somebody about something, and Jesus will say to them, "O ye of little faith, O ye of little faith." In Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 through 26, the disciples were with Jesus, and they had climbed into a boat, and they were passing the sea to go to the other side. And a huge storm came up, and the apostles and people that were with him were getting very afraid because water was coming over the sides of the ship. And Jesus, he was over there asleep during all this. But they were afraid for their lives, so they went and woke Jesus up. And Jesus said to them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" You know, these disciples had Jesus right there with them, and still they had doubts. You know, doubt in the issues of faith is a tool of Satan. Satan wants you to doubt the scriptures. And there's a lot of doubters out there in the world, aren't there? You know, but the scriptures also give us great examples of men who had exceptional faith. And there's a lot of them in there, but I want to read you this one because this is an example of faith that even surprised Jesus. And it's in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 13, and you're all familiar with this story. But it says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, 'Lord, my servant is at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' And the centurion said, 'Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say, come, and he comes. And to my servant do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he saith to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel." Now that's the type of faith that God is talking to us about that we're supposed to have. This man did not doubt at all, did he, in what he wanted. And you know, faith is such a powerful thing when you give it and put your whole heart into it without any doubts. Those doubts will get to you. I had a story that I was going to tell. But I don't know if I should now after our class this morning, but no, seriously. I'll call it an illustration. And the problem is I've told this illustration before, you know, so I apologize to you. It's not anything new, but it really illustrates what I'm talking to you and the point I'm wanting to make this morning. There was an elderly lady who was well known for her faith in God and for her boldness in talking about it. She would step out on her front porch every morning and she would shout out, "Praise the Lord." Nothing wrong with that, is there? Sounds good. But right across the street from the elderly lady lived an atheist. And when he would hear the woman's proclamations about God, it would just bother him to no end. And he would go out on his front porch and yell, "There ain't no Lord." And you can imagine that scene playing itself out every day. But as time went by, hard times fell on the elderly lady. She was out of money, and she needed food. So she sat down and prayed to God for assistance. And she walked out on her front porch, and she shouted, "Praise the Lord. God, I really need some help. I'm out of money, and I don't have any food. Could you please help me?" So the next morning, the lady went out on her front porch, and there was a big bag of groceries sitting there on the porch. And she shouted out, "Praise the Lord." You know, well, about that time, her neighbor jumped out from the bushes there, and he said, "Aha! I told you there ain't no Lord. I brought those groceries myself with my own money." And the lady, she just started jumping up and down and praising the Lord, and she said, "Praise you, God. You not only gave me some groceries, but you made the devil pay for them." You know, maybe we all need to be more vocal about our faith in God. And isn't it amazing what a little phrase like just saying something like "Praise the Lord" can inject into your conversation and to show people what where your thoughts are centered in your mind. You know, another good one is if the Lord wills. You know, if we can start putting little things like that into our conversations, maybe we could open doors up to talk to somebody about Jesus. You know, our faith is a personal thing, but it should never be a private thing to where we don't want to talk to anybody about it. That's not what Jesus wants us to do. You know, there's many people in the world who say, I believe in God, but they don't obey or live like they believe in God. We mentioned this verse in our class this morning. The Bible tells us that even demons believe and tremble, but they don't obey God. And that's from James 2 and 19. It says, thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. But the devils also believe and tremble. You know, it's easy to say, I have faith. But it's another thing to have a faith strong enough to allow God's power to work through you. And back to our verse in Proverbs. Trust in God with all your heart. You know, you've heard people use this phrase, well, put your heart into it. You know, what they're saying is really make 100% effort into what you're doing. Because when you do that, when you're putting 100% into something, that don't leave any room at all for doubt. Doubt is the enemy of not only your faith, but of your prayer life. And we'll speak a little bit about that in a minute. The last part of our verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, that's really God's way of telling us that He knows what's best for us better than we do. You know, God knows what's best for us. There's another passage in Proverbs that ties in with this one that we've been studying. Proverbs 16 and 25 says, there is a way which seems right to man, but the end is the way of death. You know, and although the author could be speaking about spiritual death here, I really think he's probably referring to spiritual death. And it could be both. You know, you could use that either way. Haven't we all done things in our lives that we were so sure was the right thing to do, only to find out in a little while that it was definitely not the right thing that we should have done? You know, our own understanding can be flawed, to say the least. It is always best to go to God in prayer and to seek His guidance and His assistance in matters that are of importance to us and to those we love, and to have the type of faith and trust in Him that He will help us when we do need help in those type of things. But our hearts can deceive us. You know, have you ever heard someone make a statement similar to this about a religious matter? Well, I just feel in my heart that what I'm doing is right. You know, we hear a lot of that in the denominational world of people. They just feel like they're doing the right thing. You know, let me read you another passage from the book of Proverbs 28 and 26. It says here, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. He who walks wisely will be delivered. Well, that's pretty harsh, isn't it? You know, people that trust in themselves, they're a fool. My friends, our hearts are not invaluable. It can lead you in the wrong direction if you leave God out of the picture. You know, the principle of trusting in God with all your heart, as I mentioned, also applies to our prayer life. You know, and I suppose that one of the best benefits of being a Christian is the ability and the opportunity to go to God in prayer. Now, prayer is such a huge and vastly deep subject that we could spend many lessons and many hours talking just about prayer. But I just want to try and hit a few points this morning with you that deals with our faith and our trust in our prayer life. And the first passage I would like you to look at is in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. And there it says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the Lord, the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You know, the thing is, we have to have faith and trust in God so that we, when we do pray to Him in our time of need, whether that's for ourselves or praying for someone else, that He's going to hear us and that He will help us. What good would it do us to pray for something that we don't think we're going to get any help with? You know, that's where that doubt's coming in there. You know, we're asking for things and maybe we're just not sure if we're asking for the right thing or whatever. But we have to have faith that God will help us when we need help. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted to you." That passage can be a little misleading if you're not careful. It's like we were mentioning in our class this morning. You can't take one verse of Scripture and just make a whole belief out of one statement. You have to look at what all the Bible says about a subject. But in this passage, belief, we have to believe that we receive them. That's a key element in our prayer life. We have to believe. But let's look at another passage. James 1, 5 through 6 says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who also gives generously and without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord." Okay, so Jim, you're saying the Bible tells us that Jesus said He will give us anything we ask for as long as we believe that we will receive them. Then why don't I get all the things I ask for when I pray for them? Well, that's a good question. But like we said, prayer is a very deep subject. And there's a lot of variables involved in getting your prayers answered. There's a lot of things we have to do, you know, so that we can expect to have our prayers answered. But generally speaking, if you are not getting the things that you want from your prayer life, you are probably asking for things that God has not promised that He would give us. And one thing, too, that we need to understand about prayer. Prayer is not an avenue for us to somehow manipulate God into giving us everything we want out of life. You know, that's not what prayer is for. But let's look at another verse in the book of James. It says, James 4 and 3 says, "You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." That could be one reason you're not getting your prayers answered. And it could be that sometimes in our prayers we just miss the point. You know, we may start thinking we need things in life that we really don't need. We just want things in life. You know, we may come to the point we think we need a new car or a new house or new furniture or whatever, you know. May pray for a winning lottery ticket. Boy, I need a winning lottery ticket. And somehow those things end up in your prayers. But let's look at a couple of verses that are going to clarify what we're speaking of. In John 15 and 7, Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you." Now there's another verse that Jesus says, well, he can give you a lot of things, but you've got to be abiding in Him and His words in you before you're going to get that. And John explains it a little better. In John 5 and 14, John tells us, "And this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything," and here's the catch, "according to His will, that He hears us." And again, that's another problem I think we might have is a lot of times we pray for things that we want to happen, you know, and not what maybe God wants to happen, you know. God has a different way of looking at things than we do. But another key point, then, in our prayer life is to pray for God's will to be done and not our will. Too often, we want God to bend to our will, don't we? Instead of us bending to His will. And you know, to be honest with you, I really don't know just what God helps us with concerning worldly and material things. You know, money problems, loss of job. You know, there's a lot of things in life that we have trouble with that really aren't spiritual things. But I do know, though, what the Bible says that it can help us about through our prayer life. And I want to look at a few of those things. Unfortunately, you know, new bass boats and new cars and new houses and all that type of stuff, they're not in there, you know. So what can we pray for and have faith and trust that God will help us with those things? Well, you know, the little elderly lady in our story, she prayed for food, didn't she? That's one of the things we can pray for, you know, necessities of life. Matthew 6 and 31 through 33. Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But first, seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So daily necessities are one of the things that God has said, I will help you with. Praying for the sick. James 5 and 16 says, therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. You know, here we're admonished to confess our sins one to another and pray for one another so that we may be healed. I have no doubts that we pray for one another, you know. We're always praying for the sick, and that's what we're supposed to do. The problem I have with this verse, and I've did a little thinking on this, and I could have it all wrong. But he says, confess your sins one to another. Now, we can come forward in church and confess our sins. That's true. But I think this is more talking about a personal relationship. Now, when was the last time that you, yourselves, went to a brother and sister in Christ here and confessed your sins to them? You know, think about that. I haven't done that, you know. Maybe that's something we need to work on. But another thing the Bible tells us to pray for is God's will to be done. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, Jesus says, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. There's our necessities again. Forgive us our debts. That's something we can ask God for. Forgive us of our sins, you know. We're supposed to forgive people who sin against us, you know. And to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we can pray for necessities in life. We can pray for the sick. You know, we pray that God's will can be done. We pray for forgiveness of our sins. You know, forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. That, and this isn't an all-inclusive list. It's just some of the main ones and things that we can pray for. And if you can see, there's a big difference in those things and in the material things that we can sometimes pray for. One more thing I want to talk to you about that it tells us that we're to pray for, and is probably the hardest thing of all. In Matthew 5 and 44, Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You know, if you watch the news or TV or get on the internet or anything, you're bombarded with the headlines these days is one person trying to tear down somebody else. You know, they're spitting out lies against people, they're false accusations, doing all kinds of despicable things to one another. And if we aren't careful, you know, we can start thinking, boy, I wish that person would get his, you know. That's not what God says we're supposed to do, is it? He says we're supposed to pray for those people, you know. I need work on that a lot. And it's not that we have to like what those people are doing, you know. Because God looks at people different than we do. God looks at a person and he sees what that person can become. We look at a person and we see what they are, and then we make a judgment on that. And we shouldn't do that, you know. We need to pray for those people, you know, that are doing things that are wrong. And there's a lot more we could say about these subjects, but I've said enough for now. To summarize what we've been talking about this morning, trusting God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, I've known people in my life who have done that. And people that do that, they have something about them that just seems to draw people to them. You know, you can see it. It's like that proverbial light in the darkness, you know. These people are just, you can see God working in their lives, you know. And don't you love to be around people like that? They just make you feel better, you know. It's just, they draw people to them. And the thing is, we can all be people like that. If we would do what we're told, trust in God with all your heart, and put your faith in Him. If you aren't a Christian here this morning, now's the time to be one, you know. If you've heard the Word, believe the Word, repent of your sins, confess Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of sins, you can get into that covenant relationship with God and start living your life the way He wants you to. Back to that doing God's will and not our will be done. Or if you are a member of the church and you just need help with something, you're having problems and need some help, we're certainly here to help you with that and can pray for you. But anyway that you need help, come while together we sing the invitation song.